Once Upon a Tangent.
Ted Brown, how are you?
I'm going very well, done, Craig, and yourself?
I'm very good, thank you.
Thank you for being here for the reading of the story.
Yes, well, I'm half the team, so it wouldn't happen without me. And your good self?
Could you imagine that, actually? Me just reading to myself? It's great, great work, Ted Brown.
Might be
thank
an
you, Ted Brown.
Might be an offshoot of Once Upon a Tangent.
Going solo. Well, yes, we're back at it again. I think I had a reflection last week after the way I treated you. This is my formal and public apology for not giving you any usable feedback. I just was right up in your face.
No, that was it. Episode 6, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No, I'm sure. It's critiquing. It's tearing apart. That's part of the write-up that people see and go, I'd like to hear some tearing apart.
I'm excellent at critiquing and ripping myself apart and all my work, but to other people I'm like, I don't mean to be so vicious. I don't know.
Ted, maybe it's all right if it's part of your character.
Maybe it is. Maybe that's just how I'm made up. That's how I'm meant
so
to be.
So be it, and that's fine. Mm. And I don't know, is that public apology meant to soften me, seeing as you are reading your
maybe the real inspiration behind me apologizing is to protect myself a little for what is about to come. Because I think today I have something different. Remember, I said to you previously, I've known for my rhymes, known for my little whimsical, you know, analogies of real life, you know, moral lessons. This one's just a story, so it's my first venture into just telling a story. I don't know if it's going to work out or not. I'm bracing myself for that.
No moral at the end, or. Message.
I don't think there is a moral. You probably can find a moral in it if you dig around, but it's not as obvious as I normally do. I usually do them
interesting
in your face.
I admire the guts of going out of your comfort zone.
Oh, well, thank you. And I do it for this.
Now I see where this apology is coming from, because I'm going to try something new and I don't want it to be torn apart.
Yeah.
That's okay, man. You'll be all right. So, Ted Brown, lay it on us.
It's my turn. Are you ready? As yet untitled, but I feel like it's going to come in this conversation. So we'll title it as we go along.
Like it.
A thick fog crept over the campgrounds of Scrub Chasm. You like that?
You knew you wouldn't get past Scrub Chasm.
Why not? What's wrong with Scrub Chasm? I had several variations. That's the one I settled on. Scrub Chasm.
Is it a chasm full of scrub?
Yeah. It's a chasm being between, you know, hills and valley. It's deep in a valley.
I thought chasm was like if you drop something down, you'd never hear it land, and therefore there wouldn't be scrub in it.
Well, that's actually probably a good...
Isn't that like a gaping chasm?
Yeah, it's down deep.
It'd be called something like Devil's Gaping Chasm. Scrub chasm makes people feel like, especially kids if they heard this, oh, it wouldn't be that bad if I fell down. I'd land on some scrub.
Well, yes, thank you for bringing that up. I should have mentioned, I'm upscaling my audience here. This is for like... late, you know, childhood, early teen storytelling. Is that okay for Once Upon a Tangent?
That's fine, man.
So I'm just aiming for a slightly, like, you know, when you're a 10-year-old and you picked up like Roald Dahl book, like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, it's slightly more advanced than a kid's book, but it's still enjoyable to read.
Okay.
So I'm going for that demographic. So yes, they'll fall down a chasm and land on a scrub and they'll be fine about it.
Wow. Okay, cool.
The cold Highland air was still and the leaves...
Highland air, so it's set in Scotland.
Ah, well,
Scottish Highlands
H.
are beautiful. Not a bad spot to have this set.
I've been there. It's nice.
Yeah. So,
but it's not that Highlands. No, it's like...
Oh, I thought we might hear an accent of some sort.
You don't want to hear me do a Scottish accent.
I sort of do.
It's lowercase Highland. The Highland air was still. The leaves of the towering mountain ash managed only a whisper.
Oh, there was a fire.
No. Do you know about mountain ash? Mountain ash
it's
is
caused
like
by mountain fires.
One of Australia's biggest gum trees. It's like second biggest species of tree in the world.
Wow!
I found in my research, because I do detailed research, that the
he says getting out a phone that has no doubt the page bookmarked.
No, I am putting that away in case it buzzes. 99 meters is one in Tasmania. It's very, very high. So imagine we're in a deep chasm here, and it's very big trees.
Are those trees in the chasm?
Yes.
They're growing out of the chasm at 99 feet.
Well, chasm is just the name of the campground. But So, Scrub Chasm at the campground, there's fog there. Thick fog.
Thick fog and a chasm.
Yeah, the name.
But there is a chasm there that's called Scrub Chasm.
Well, it's more like a valley. It's not such
it's a valley. Not as dangerous.
Scrub Valley doesn't sound good.
No, that doesn't sound.
So, chasm sounds more dramatic. And it's a dramatic story. So, I needed a dramatic location.
Okay, continue with
the imposing hills protecting the deep valley, there it is, enveloped the complex in a breathless quiet.
Complex?
It's a camp complex, which I will discuss with you shortly.
Oh, how romantic. Mum, where are we staying this summer? You're going to the complex.
It's a bit like that. You
Mountain Ash and Chasms are now a complex.
You have a knack for figuring out where I'm going with these things. Scrub Chasm was an escape camp for teens. It was the only camp
Psycho
of its type.
Teens.
Maybe.
Oh, yes.
In the world, because campers had no set program. They could pursue any hobby imaginable. Because you know when you go to a camp, it's like, okay, we're going to the assembly and then you're going to go to your thing and then we're going to go bushwalking and then back for cordial and lunch and then we'll have a movie night. No, this is not like that.
These guys have free reign.
Freedom. And as a common theme, they're probably gifted kids.
Oh, here we go.
I can't help it. I just like
gifted. You know it's coming in the story. So have you thought, oh, some of them do some pretty gnarly stuff. They need to be gifted as well.
Maybe. But I didn't want to use the word gifted, yet somehow I still told you. Get this bit here. You'll
so
like
parents
it.
Are just handballing the kids to a camp where they can do whatever they want.
But it's kind of like, as you're about to find out, it's kind of for their own development because they've already got showed promise. So we're going to send them off to this.
Where's that explained?
Well, it's about to be explained.
Oh,
I should go
we'll
into
go
it. I'll
that,
go into
yeah.
it. Okay.
I digress with a tangent. Who would have thought?
It's meant to be. Some kids came to work on their drawing skills. Others came to dance. Some came for the high-performance fitness program. Others to sharpen their app programming skills.
HPFP.
Good work. You did it.
High-performance fitness program.
Yeah. What about app programming skills?
APS.
Because, you know, it's modern. People...
Okay. So what's on offer here? Some of them want to hone their skills.
Drawing, dancing, high-performance fitness for those wanting to go to the Olympics. App programming, those who want to go to Silicon Valley. There's a couple more.
The list.
Yeah, there was a full-size commercial kitchen for those learning to cook.
Of course.
Even a Broadway theatre replica for the drama geeks.
You know what would be the hardest job for the company running this complex?
Mm-hmm.
Advertising the jobs for people that teach at this. So,
it's very complex.
Dean or whatever's happening at this complex.
Dean? Who's Dean?
Dean is a dean of a university, I assume this is some sort of dean or principal or leader, whatever they are. What are we having this year? So you're going to love this. App design. Yeah, well, that's cool. Like, what else? Drawing.
Wow.
Okay. You know what they've been building out the back? Yeah, what is that? That's a Broadway replica. Is that next to the massive industrial kitchen? Yep, next to that. How are we going to find a team of people that can teach this? Don't worry.
But imagine going as a kid, as a teenager, to a camp
phenomenal.
Like that and going, I can do anything and they let me do whatever I want.
Should be camp bloody incredible. And that's self-sufficient.
Yeah, self-sufficient.
Well, maybe with the cooking and...
I'm thinking about it. Former graduates of Scrub Chasm go on to teach at Scrub Chasm because they've done everything already. I don't know. I'm just sort of spitballing that one.
Or so they don't all die there. It's not like a horror story where it sounds all good and they go, I went there. Johnny went there
deaths?
For the drawing.
I don't know. I can't say there'll be no deaths. Deaths happen everywhere.
Excellent. All right. So we went through the list of what's on offer at Camp Amazing.
And there's a lot of things there. I've got a little line here, which I'll just to clarify that, I'll probably cut it out of the final edit. But it's basically about free choice. So you can come in.
Bringing first drafts to Once Upon a
Tangent. Well, yeah, sometimes I'm working as I go along. I don't like it as I see it now, so I'm going to leave that line out.
It's not called
now I'm going to introduce
Once Upon
you to
a Room
character.
Of Mirrors. Have a look at yourself. Here's your draft, man. This is it. This should be the final.
No, well, I'm open, unlike you, to editing. If you want to come here and come in with the final story, you can do that. But I'm coming here open, asking you to teach and to show. Yeah, and you've done well so far.
See what you get with me.
Give me some pointers if I've done something.
Okay, great. Good list of amazing kids.
So now we know where their place is. Now some character. Sam Jr. stood at the large horseshoe driveway in front of the main hall.
They teach horseshoe making.
I don't know how to describe it. What's the driveway?
Shape like a horseshoe.
Yeah, where you drop off and then do a U-turn and just keep
circular?
Driving. Circular driveway. Should have put that in. See? I am learning.
That's good.
You can tangent, but you're also teaching.
I get co-author on this.
So Sam Jr. stood at the large circular driveway.
Sweet.
Much better. In front of the main hall. He scanned the arrival area as buses dropped kids off. To pass the time, he counted the campers scattered across the yard.
What was he there for?
I don't want to say yet.
Not cool.
No. There were 39 campers in total, 38 girls, and himself.
Hang on.
Hmm.
Gender bias.
Yes, it's a very strong... You know how there's sometimes 60-40, 45-50...
Yeah.
This is 38 girls and one boy.
Oh, gee, this is...
How would you handle that?
Well, it depends what age they are. Late teens, he'd be absolutely cheering.
I'll explain that to you in this very next sentence. You have read my mind.
Wow, I should do the foreword without reading it.
I don't even need to be here. You can just do both ends. Sam Jr. liked girls, but as a 13-year-old with a face like a pizza and a voice like an accordion...
And a what?
And a voice like an accordion. You know, you do it really well. I've heard you.
Oh, yeah? What's his name? Sam Jr.?
Yeah.
How's he going to meet chicks?
It goes up and down like that.
Oh, poor guy. And like a lot of pimples.
Girls made his stomach churn.
Your stomach churn.
Okay. Oh, that's my stomach. And you can do the accordion voice. We can do sound effects for this whole episode.
Okay, ready? This is how it will go. Oh, girls make my stomach churn.
It's the bubbling churn. You get where he's coming from. He likes girls, but he's still in that nervous puberty age.
Well, he doesn't 13. Have any competition here, except for lesbians.
Well, we don't know about that. I haven't clarified that. But
well, no, there might not be any, but that would be his only competition.
Well, that's right. You're right. Yes.
Just stating facts from your book of the scary chasm of
Scrub
excellence. Scrub chasm.
With clenched hands tucked deep into his pockets, he observed the bevy of girls. It seemed the short ones spoke the loudest. The tall ones stood in the tightest groups. And not one girl managed a smile. They rubbed their hands together to stay warm, even though they were gloved.
What?
You know how girls do that? They stand
this
in like...
cryptic.
Brooding teenage girls. They don't like smile. They stand in circles. And
you could
I think,
word economize and say they hung around and they were fairly bitchy.
Well, I was giving you color. The short ones are the loudest. The tall ones hang in the cliques.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? You know how tall girls, no offense to tall girls listening, there's three of
them.
Do
they? Tall girls hang around together?
No, when I was in school, the tall girls were always the coolest and the most frightening to approach. You wouldn't approach a tall girl.
You didn't have any hot short chicks at your school.
Oh, no, it's not about hotness, but the tall
were
ones
you
were
walking around talking like this?
I had the pizza.
Oh,
face,
it's Ted Brown.
And I had a little, like, immature mustache. It was coming in five years too early. It was coming
dirty
in 5 years
little,
too early.
The dirty little lip falcon.
The fluffy.
Little, oh, hang on.
So I put myself in Sam Jr.'s shoes. I know how he feels.
Okay.
He's completely outnumbered by these girls. They're all really imposing because they're tall and they're talking loudly and he's quietly standing scanning the yard.
You know why they're not going near him? Because when they rocked up, he was the weird unit in the corner counting people that turned up.
Yeah, that's right.
Imagine if you did that. Not even a female rocking up to a camp and looking in the corner and there's a guy going, 34? Like looking at
what
you,
about
like,
the line
what?
That says he had clenched hands deep in his pockets? That makes it even worse.
I missed what? That. Did
yeah.
you say
I
that?
I said that earlier. Why has he got his hands clenched in his pockets while he observes the bevy of girls?
It's because I was caught on bevy.
Sorry, yeah, because I was going to put gaggle of girls, but I looked online and it goes, a group of girls in any situation is called a bevy. There's some grammar for it.
An official... Oh.
Yeah, it's an official thing.
Bloody hell.
I thought bevy always meant like ooh, buxom females. No, it just means a group of females together.
And short for beverage.
Hmm. Just then, a yellow minivan slowed to a stop on the gravel in front of him.
Sounds healthy.
Hmm. It had a roof rack in the first draft, but I cut it out. A mother hopped out and walked around to the other side of the car. He couldn't hear the conversation over the sound of the running engine, but he caught a few words that confused him. This is my female mum voice. Just do your best to control it, please. I want to put a bit of mystery in here.
A bit of
this
a
is
hook.
A mystery. Yeah,
I like it.
Because what on earth could she be saying and to who? She hugged the kid that Sam Jr. couldn't see yet, got back in the car and drove off, leaving a wide-eyed boy with a duffel bag in her wake. Now's another bloke.
Wide eye, like abnormally wide?
Yeah, like frightened wide. Like
okay.
Dish.
So he got the girl counter and dish eyes.
So now there's 40 in total, 40 campers.
Yeah, but he's not worried about this competition.
Nah. Well, we're going to have to find out who this... Because what on earth would his mother be saying, just do your best to control it? Control what?
Yeah.
Temper? I'm just planting seeds here. I don't know. Yeah, we'll see.
Temper, some sort of outburst.
The boy was the same height, about the
bladder.
Same. Sorry? Bladder. Control your bladder? Could be that. Hey, it could be comical. Like, he can't control his bladder. It's like a fire hose. Oh, poor guy. He was about the same height as Sam Jr. and strangely wore a blue jacket and red beanie similar to his.
Oh, hang on.
Why?
I'm not asking you to hang on. I'm thinking out loud. This isn't some weird, it's his twin.
No. Well, it doesn't say. I haven't said that. I don't know. Why would his twin, like, I don't know. Maybe it's his lost long twin. I actually haven't thought about it. Well, that'd be a good twist. You should write this story. So,
scrub twist.
You know, if Once Upon a Tangent was, I'm going to give you half a story and then you run off with the second half, you could probably do it.
We'll stick around for that. That might be episode
that could
8.
It could be the next one.
Oh, I doubt we'll act on it. We'll see what happens.
Still doubt I'll act on it. Just falso. Sam Jr. nervously crossed the driveway. There's some dialogue here now for the first time in any of my books.
So all the chicks are around, but he goes and talks to the only other guy.
Yeah, well, they're all kind of assembling, really waiting to find out what
their
to
hands
do.
Together and, yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
So he doesn't have tools to talk to. He can't go up there and go, "Hey, ladies." I mean, do your voice.
"Hi, ladies." I like how you rub your hands together. I do it with mine, but they're in my pocket.
"Excuse me, I'm going to be sick." Yeah, so, yeah, he can't do it. He needs another bloke to sort of anchor himself.
Instant wingman.
"Hey, dude," he said. "Welcome to Scrub Chasm." "Do you work here?" asked the other boy. "Me? No, just saying hey. I'm Sam Jr." "I'm Hal. Hal Wednesday."
Hal Wednesday. That's excellent.
I wanted to write the tale of Hal Wednesday and Sam Jr. It's like the two buddies. I don't know.
Hal Wednesday.
Hal Wednesday. What a cool name.
Oh, he's already dark.
Oh, man, I've got trivia for you. But like you told me last time, it's not trivia if I feed it myself. So I'm just going to leave it there for now. But I am itching to say. I won't say it yet. Sam Jr. held out. You have to picture this. Or you might even like to do a practical experiment.
Okay.
Sam Jr. held his right hand out at a 45-degree angle. And Hal knew to throw his own into the clasp, hood style. You know those shakes?
Yeah.
I didn't know how to explain it. There's no name for it.
Nah.
45-degree, like a real...
Wow.
"So, do you want the good news or the bad news?" asked Sam Jr., eager to start a conversation. "Good news, I guess," said Hal.
He's pretty dark, this guy. What's it going to take to stoke his fire?
He's trying to control it, whatever it is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's a little bit weird and no one knows why.
Cool.
"Well, I think we're going to get a whole dorm to ourselves," he beamed.
"Really? Why?" asked Hal.
"Well, that's the bad news. I reckon we're the only boys in this whole camp. There are girls everywhere." Do you like my character reading?
It's good. I'm definitely envisaging two young bucks there.
A little bit different, though, aren't they?
Yeah. Hal, have they let go from the handshake, or is it still like a weird talking one?
Actually, I never released them. They should have let go. No, they're still holding their hands.
Wonder why Hal reached out for that. He seems a bit dark to embrace.
Because I think it's like a bro code. If someone puts out a hand, you got to go for it, don't you?
Did they lean in for the hug and their little pat on the back?
A little pat on the back.
Yeah.
Maybe they're not up to that level yet.
Yep.
Nah.
Cool.
That's just something that comes with time.
Just establishing characters.
So he's just told him there are girls everywhere.
Bad news.
Hal cracked half a smile. "Well, that's kind of good news too, isn't it?" Does that sound bad? See, it's not for kids.
It's good because he's starting to open up a bit.
He's just being honest.
Yeah. Likes the ladies.
So then, of course, he said that to Sam, and Sam's thinking about it. "My man," exclaimed Sam Jr.
Oh, hang on.
As they popped another bro shake.
What is happening here?
Why not?
The girls are watching this going, "Oh, well, there's two more off our list."
I haven't described their appearance. Maybe the girls think they're hot stuff.
Pizza face.
Well, yes, pizza face. I have described his face. But
pizza face and keep a lid on it.
Otherwise,
sad Hal. Okay, so they've embraced again.
So they've embraced, and he's told in the news that there are, you know, 38 girls. There are only two boys at this escape camp.
19 each.
To do what?
Spend time with?
No further comment on your 19 each? 19 girls each. Hal and Sam Jr. grabbed their bags and went up the stairs into the main hall for orientation. Their three-week escape camp was about to begin.
Well, there won't be lineups for the toilet.
No, they get a whole dorm and all the men's facilities to themselves.
Cool. Like the shaving room and cigar lounge.
Well, if they teach them to be, you know, chauvinistic, you know,
cool.
Misogynistic.
So orientation, how did that go?
My last three words are to be continued.
Hang on.
I'm going to leave.
You said you had a finished story.
It is a finished story. Two boys meet, chapter one. The adventures of Hal.
Oh, it is a finished story. Chapter one. If it's called one chapter.
See, this is why I said to you at the beginning, I'm bucking the trend here. I don't know if it's acceptable or not. I could leave it like that. Or do you want to know what happens to Sam Jr. and Hal Wednesday as they go into this escape camp? What course will they take? What will happen with these girls? I left a big lure there, and I'm not thinking you're biting it.
Of course, I want to know.
It is going unbitten.
I want to know, but you don't have the rest of it, do you?
I have a very detailed outline for the second chapter, if I was pressured to put it in. Not that you would pressure me.
Because I do want to know the rest. I don't want that to be the end of a story, just basically on principle.
On principle, it can't be. It's a chapter one. I thought it could be a nice cliffhanger, but I didn't really have a cliffhanger, except that the kid's weird. Sam Jr. is pretty eager to please the other guy because he reckons the other guy's pretty cool. And they're outnumbered. So what are they going
to
do?
So before to be continued, what would be the last words we would read other than like the italicized to be continued? Okay.
Their three-week escape camp was about to begin.
Dot, dot, dot.
So we know that the escape camp lets them do whatever they want. They're in a deep chasm.
We don't know what Hal
fog everywhere.
Has to keep the lid on.
It's raining.
Heaps more girls.
The girls are a bit moody.
Yeah.
And they're clicking together. But can I lead this into you without really giving away what I plan for them?
Mm.
Is that these boys may not follow the official camp schedule. They may not follow the camp rules, even though the camp has no rules, which says you can do whatever you want. I have this great idea, but I wish now I put it in the same story so that it was all
it was too long to fit in
one sitting of Once Upon a Time.
Okay. Mm. Well, it has to be the next one.
My next one will be the thrilling conclusion, or maybe second chapter of 18.
Jeez.
Could be a great story.
We've only scratched the surface of two young bucks just trying to make their way in a camp of way more females. We don't know anything about the girls. We don't know if the fog's going to lift.
No.
How deep the chasm is?
Classic case of biting off way too much for a story in such a short... It should have been a short story. I went for a longer arc.
Chapter 2 is going to have to be called The Chew, because you've bitten off and you've got to chew, man.
Once Upon a Tangent, a part of the Auscast Network.